Is it November 6th yet? Ohio television watchers sick of campaign commercials may wish it was election day, but we have a long way to go. In many ways, the race has not even begun yet. Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann today. This hour, a political roundtable. Two veteran political watchers, Bill Hershey, former State House and Washington, D.C. reporter for the Dayton Daily News and the Akron Beacon Journal, is here. Bill, welcome.
Oh, good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you.
And Paul Beck, political scientist at Ohio State University. Paul, welcome.
Good to be here, Mike. Thank you.
Are you all waiting for November 6th? I mean, it's fun to watch, but at some point it becomes kind of tiresome, especially for us here. Paul?
It will be tiresome and very negative, of course.
Yes.
So they even do things that are almost sacrilegious, like running political ads during Ohio State football games.
Mm-hmm. Bill Hershey.
We're already back-to-back television commercials, Olympics, doesn't matter what's on. It's either Obama's awful, Romney's awful, they're both awful. I can't keep track of it.
Everyone's awful. A question for our listeners, what do you think of the campaign tactics used over this past month? And it's kind of a modified open forum, so if you have a political question, a political opinion, we'll take it. 292-8513, 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Quinnipiac University poll came out last week, showed President Obama opening up a little bit of daylight here in Ohio, 50% for the president and 44% for Mitt Romney, so a six-point lead. That's beyond the margin of error, and the president is above or at the 50% mark. Paul Beck, the number that struck me was Mitt Romney's approval number, 40%. 11 points behind the president. It's getting kind of late, August 6th, for an approval rating of that number.
Well, that's Romney's big problem. Now, one always has to be careful with the polls, that they are snapshots at a particular point in time. They are subject to error, so one always wants to see other polls that kind of confirm what that is. The thing that's significant, as you pointed out about the Quinnipiac poll, is that this is the first time there's been a gap of that size. And it also brings Obama to the 50% mark. And then on top of that is that there's a real gap, even larger than that 6%, in terms of the favorables. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were pointing to, that Romney is not seen as positively by voters, even some Romney voters. As Obama is, and that's a real strong suit for the president going into the fall campaign.
Bill Hershey, is that a 1 month blip on the poll because of all the negative stories that had come out about Bain Capital and its outsourcing? Bain Capital being Mitt Romney's former firm, the mistakes he made at the Olympics and overseas, the so-called gaffes that he made. Is that just a snapshot of a bad month for Mitt Romney, or is it a permanent?
I don't think anything is permanent, but we're getting closer to election day, and voters are starting to make up their minds. And this is happening to Governor Romney at a time when the economy still is not in good shape. It's in better shape in Ohio than it is in other parts of the country. But there's elections perhaps shouldn't be popularity contests, but the president is pronouncing this populist message. It's almost like Howard Metzenbaum was running for president of the United States. I'm the guy that's sticking up for the common person, and here's Mitt Romney with offshore accounts, Bain Capital. He wants to plant that in the minds of the voters. It's a negative attack. It's nothing like the president, the person who was going to bring us all together. But I think he decided, or he and his advisors, that we're all apart, and I'm not going to win by saying I'm going to bring us all together. And I'm struck that Governor Romney has not done a better job of striking back at President Obama. If you let something like this stand, you should learn from John Kerry, the swift boat attacks. This gets impressed in the minds of the voters, and it's very hard to change what they think of you.
And like the swift boat attacks on John Kerry, Paul Beck, this went after Mitt Romney's strength, his resume as a business leader and his very successful business career. Just like the swift boats ads, whatever you thought of them, they went after John Kerry's calling card, which was his Vietnam War record.
Oh, that's exactly right. And of course, what keeps all this alive is this controversy over Romney's income tax. Mm-hmm. And if I were running the Romney campaign, and obviously I'm not, I would want that issue to get off the table as quickly as possible, but it just keeps having legs. And what it does is whatever people feel about the income tax issue and whether he should release his taxes or not, it keeps the issue alive of his privileged status. And that's very much what the Obama campaign wants to keep in voters' minds as we go forward here. And I think that what we've learned in studying voters over time, particularly voters who are not partisans, who are independents, who swing back and forth, is that they form these impressions of candidates early on. They may lose track of exactly what the data were that allowed them to form that impression, but the impression lives on. And that's what's going on right now, is that the Obama campaign and others are trying to define Romney in such a way that will last into the fall campaign. And that could be very problematic for Romney.
It's a cumulative as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bill.
I think Paul made a good point in terms of these tax returns. People are beginning to notice this, and someone as conservative and as much of a Republican, I consider him the essence of being an Ohio Republican, House Speaker Bill Batchelder in the Ohio General Assembly. I think he said something like, goodness gracious, let them out there.
Yeah, he did back off the statement a little bit, saying.
He did a little bit, yeah. But the first thing he said was let them out there. And oftentimes Speaker Batchelder says things first that he really means, then somebody says, Speaker, you probably shouldn't have said it that blatantly.
Yeah.
And he did back off. But that's the facts. People wonder, well, what is or what are in these tax returns and what's not there?
Now, John Kasich faced these same calls, and he did release, like Mitt Romney has, a brief outline of a tax return. And he was elected. Might this fade like it did for him?
I think there's a difference there. And with Romney, it's A, he is far more wealthy than John Kasich. B, he worked for Bain Capital over the course and built his career around that. And Bain Capital, is a business. He has business experience. But it's the kind of business that a lot of Americans don't resonate with. They worry about those kinds of businesses. And then thirdly, in the returns that were released, there were offshore accounts and other things that I think raised questions in people's mind. Now, those questions could be addressed, presumably. But normal Americans don't have offshore accounts. And the truth is, if I were running for president, if any of us were running for president, we might not want to have offshore accounts. That sort of sounds un-American, as if we're trying to dodge something. And the only way to address that is to get those returns out there.
I think that, just if I could jump in, Governor Kasich's, there were questions about him also, though he worked for Lehman Brothers, which wasn't exactly a mom and apple pie company at the time that he worked for them. And perhaps people didn't push him enough, but it would seem to me that Governor Kasich was a better candidate than Governor Romney is. He was better at pushing back. There were other things on his tax returns that were objectionable. He got a lot of money for doing very little up at Ohio State University as a professor. And Kasich said, so what? He struck back. Governor Kasich can be very aggressive, almost pugilistic in his rhetoric. And Romney seems to sometimes, like, why would somebody say something like this about me? I've saved the Olympics, and I was a great governor. One of his ads says he balanced the budget every year when he was governor. Well, if he didn't, he would have been thrown out of office because all governors have to balance their budgets.
Let's get a quick call here. Larry, you're on the air with political scientist Paul Beck and veteran reporter Bill Hershey.
Well, good morning. My comment is I'd like to see them see which way they're going to take this country and get everybody back to work. I'm tired of these negative campaigns.
So you're tired of the negative ads?
I'm tired of these negative ads, and I want to see them get this country on the roll and get everybody back to work.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's Paul Beck. That's the criticism Mitt Romney has faced. He's been basically, Obama has failed. He's in over his head. I'm the guy to fix the economy because of my business background. but people are calling to him to be more specific as to what he is going to do. And he made a step towards that direction last week with his tax plan.
Yes, and I think he needs to be even more specific about that. We are, and the caller is right on target, I think, in saying and sensing that we're awash in negative ads. Negative ads don't help us a lot to sort out which of these two candidates is going to be better for the country. They're going to continue. I think this will probably be the worst year ever in terms of negative advertising. There are some reasons for that that we need to understand, even if we deplore them at the same time. And one of the reasons is that most of the advertising is not going to be done by the presidential campaigns themselves. They'll be done by these super PACs that have independence from the presidential campaigns. They also are going to be done by independent organizations that really have no obligations to the presidential campaigns and in some ways no accountability. And they will be relentlessly negative. Mm-hmm. We've seen over the last few years a lot of negative focus on President Obama. I think more negative than any president has received that I can remember. George W. Bush got a lot of negative commentary.
Yeah.
But Obama was worse. And now we're seeing it coming from the Obama side as well. And it's going to be a toxic campaign.
Bill, maybe it's just me, but when I watch the Olympics, and I've been watching the Olympics a little bit more live than I watch regular TV. And when I'm watching the Olympics and I see Chevy having these all-American ads, how great this country is, and I see Coca-Cola with its great ads, and then, of course, the Olympic coverage itself is very, nationalistic, and then a negative ad comes on. It rubs me the wrong way. I'm watching the Olympics to show my patriotism in some sense, rooting for the home team, our team, the United States, and then there's a negative ad. Whoever it's attacking, it just doesn't sit right.
It's discordant. It just seems like a screech or something. But we have the advantage. We can mute it. We can switch to the other channel carrying the Olympics, which I do.
Yeah.
But it does seem out of place almost.
It seems to be, as the Olympics have gone on, fewer negative ads. I mean, President Obama, I saw last night, had a positive ad during the Olympics. I'm not sure I've seen less negative. I don't know. But I watched quite a bit last night. I didn't see any negative ads, at least when I was watching the track and field.
Well, the campaigns certainly need to worry about blowback. The people will react negatively to the negative ads. I think especially for a president, because it doesn't seem very presidential to be attacking the opposition, though he's going to do that. And you almost have to do that for self-protection. The other problem with the negative ads is that going forward, they make governing very difficult. If month after month after month they're beating on their opponents and all you hear are negative things, and then all of a sudden one of them is elected and has to govern and has to work with the opposition that has been attacking him, that's a problem. And secondly, it kind of sours voters in general on government and politicians. And I think that is not a good thing as well.
All right. We're talking politics here with Paul Beck from OSU and Bill Hershey from formerly of the Dayton Daily News and Akron Beacon Journal. We'll get to some of your phone calls and we'll talk more about the presidential race and also look at the Veep speculation, Mitt Romney's vice presidential pick due this week, and also look at the U.S. Senate race between Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel. When All Sides continues here on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Wade Goodwin. Coming up on the next On Point, job retraining programs have bipartisan support, but do they work? And is anyone keeping track? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 78 degrees with sunshine in downtown Columbus. Sunny skies today reaching a high of 85. Clear skies for tonight and very comfortable, a low of 58 degrees. Sunshine and a high of 87 on Tuesday.
Support for 89.7 comes from Palmer Miller Nelson Insurance Agency Incorporated, serving Central Ohio homeowners and businesses since 1855. More information at 261-6300 or online at pmnins.com.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. Our guest, Paul Beck from Ohio State University. He's a political scientist at OSU and a veteran, now retired political writer and reporter. Bill Hershey used to work for the Dayton Daily News and the Akron Beacon Journal. Been watching Ohio politics for a long time. Let's go to the phones, and Alex has been waiting patiently, and he'll bring us into our next area of discussion. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious as to what the gentleman on the panel thought about Romney's supposed gaffe in Jerusalem, where he stated that the Jewish culture was superior because of their culture and their economy was thriving because of their superior culture compared to the Palestinians. I was wondering if that was a play for the Jewish American vote that Obama held pretty heavily last election.
Okay, thanks. Also, he said that Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel, which, again, was called a gaffe, but it wasn't really a gaffe. It was carefully calculated.
Well, you have to think about what audience he's playing for. On the Jerusalem thing, Republican candidates for years, and some Democrats as well, have wanted Jerusalem to be the capital, as it is in Israel. But most nations don't recognize it as the Israeli capital. My guess is if Romney were elected president, that issue will kind of die away because there are all kinds of diplomatic complications in you know, particularly shutting down any kind of peace negotiations. So it was, I think, a studied statement, very much playing to a domestic audience and the audience of people who are fundraisers who accompanied Romney on his Israeli trip.
I thought the commentary by some of the deep thinkers who know a lot more about this than I do was very interesting in terms of the weaknesses of the Palestinian economy. They framed it in terms of Israel operating within a government that's actually able to do things and the Palestinians being somewhat stateless people. And my own limited experience in that part of the world as a Peace Corps volunteer, I found many of the businesses at the time I was in East Africa, this was before there were as many Asians, were owned by Arabs, some of them Palestinians. And from what I could read, Palestinians had been very instrumental in running the economies in some of the more established Middle Eastern countries that have governments. So I'm not sure that Governor Romney's comment was totally accurate. And it was a slap at Arab Americans, certainly, and perhaps he didn't think that he was going to get any of their votes anyway.
Is it a play for, let's get down to almost micropolitics, is it a play for conservative Jewish voters in Florida, which would help Mitt Romney win the crucial state of Florida?
I think conceivably it is. I agree entirely with Bill that it was a comment that probably, again, was conscious, though may not play out well for Governor Romney over time. Palestinians are well known for being quite industrious and quite business-oriented, particularly in comparison with other people in the Middle East and the Arab world. The other thing about Israel that's kind of interesting is that culture has evolved over time. It's not the European culture that it was 30 and 40 years ago. And it's interesting to see what that evolution means at the present time and what it's going to mean into the future.
Okay. 292-8513, if you'd like to jump into our discussion. We're talking politics this morning. How many months we got? 4 months to go before the election? Today's the 6th, so this is the anniversary, August, September, 4 months to go before the election. It hasn't even really started yet. 292-8513, if you have a question for our two guests, Paul Beck from OSU and Bill Hershey, formerly of the Dayton Daily News. Did we make too much of the gaffes, especially the I use the word gaffe in quotes, the gaffes in London when Mitt Romney, you know, he basically said what everyone else had been saying, that the Olympics had some, you know, possible stumbling blocks before they got going, and he got hammered for it.
Well, I think you don't go into a home country and criticize the country and the administration there. It's just not very diplomatic to do. I think he probably wishes he could take that back. It doesn't play on the American scene either. I mean, so you can't even argue that basically he's trying to appeal to a domestic audience here in the United States the way he might have been in his comments on Israel.
I don't like to get... Well, I will anyway. second time I've said this today. When I became a Peace Corps volunteer, the Peace Corps director in the country I went to was Ethiopia. He said, remember your guests when you go over there. And there was a lot to be disconcerted about in that country. But had we talked about all the negative things, we would have never gotten anything done. Governor Romney wants to be elected president of the United States. He goes into the country, which is our strongest ally. He insults them on something that they're taking great pride in. It brings a retort from the conservative prime minister, whose politics are not that much different than Governor Romney's. So he takes a positive on his own, turns it into a negative. I'm sure that it isn't the most important event in the world, and if we didn't have social media now where everything goes out immediately, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But we do. We don't have the Pony Express and Western Union telegrams anymore. We have Twitter, Facebook. Everything happens right away, and he blew it.
There also, I should add, there will be during the course of any campaign, there will be things that candidates say on both sides that they probably shouldn't have said.
The private sector is fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the real question is, do those things play into the or affect – no, correspond to the image that voters have of that candidate? Are they reinforcing in a negative or positive way? And that's the problem that I think Governor Romney had, just as that was the problem that Obama had in making the comments about the private sector, that they kind of reinforce images that are already out there. And once you've done that reinforcement, it's hard to take it back.
We're talking politics with Paul Beck and Bill Hershey here on 89.7 NPR News, All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. All right, email from Al will get us to this this topic. Any chance Rob Portman will be Mitt Romney's running mate? That was all the talk a few weeks ago. Now no one is mentioning him. Well, he's still being mentioned, Bill Hershey, but what would you put the odds of Rob Portman being the vice presidential pick right now?
I fall back on being retired. I'm not keeping track of this on a day-to-day basis, so I don't know whether his odds have increased or decreased. I remember at one point he was really red hot, and we keep reading these breathless stories about they're both going to be in the state at the same time. It must be time to make the announcement. I don't know if it's 50-50 or less than that. What do you?
Well, this will obviously be a personal decision on the part of Mitt Romney and certainly his campaign, and most of us have no insight into that. You know, just in an objective sense, I think Portman would be a very smart pick for Romney. There's an advantage in Ohio. It may be small, but small things are going to matter in Ohio. Portman is widely respected for his expertise on budget matters. He also is a Washington insider that Romney is not. Now, the Republican campaigns don't want to play that up too much. On the other hand, that would be an asset.
Yeah, he has the experience. I mean, it would be a Sarah Palin situation where
exactly.
She didn't have the experience.
But there's
Washington.
Another thing about Portman that I think gets overlooked. There was a column by a Dallas reporter, a columnist who knew Portman. I don't know Portman well, but Portman can be a likable. He is a likable person. And unlike Governor Romney, he doesn't have a tin ear. He listens to people. He wouldn't have been successful as U.S. trade negotiator or as budget director negotiating with Democrats and Republicans. Voters don't really mind millionaires as long as these are millionaires who listen to them and don't act like they can do anything any place they want to. Portman is a millionaire also, comes from inherited wealth. He learned on the shop floor. He did the worst jobs there. So I think to the extent that vice presidential candidates matter, Portman would be a good choice.
He's so-called the so-called him and Tim Pawlenty from the former governor of Minnesota are the safe picks because they're nice guys. But do you want a nice guy as or a nice woman as your vice presidential pick?
I think it actually would be helpful to Romney. He has sort of a hard edge image. Portman, as Bill has said, is more of a soft edge image. He has worked with Democrats. He has international experience. That's important. Romney really doesn't have that.
But he doesn't have that attack dog, you know.
No, but
sometimes you want in a vice presidential candidate.
He can attack with a glove over his fist. When President Obama came into Mansfield, Air Force, a base that was going to be reductions because of Obama's budget policies. It was Portman's people who started the attack on that. So he knows how to attack without maybe a sledgehammer. He's no Spiro Agnew, but I don't think that's what Romney needs either.
I joked on the TV show Columbus on the Record last week that, you know, John Kasich's approval rating now is higher than Rob Portman's in Ohio. And also he's better known in Ohio. And I joke maybe he could be the running mate for Mitt Romney. That's not going to happen, of course. But is Rob Portman well enough known in Ohio to help Mitt Romney win the state?
I think not right now, but I think he will be over time if he becomes the vice presidential running mate. The other thing to think about, the difference between Portman and Pawlenty, who are the two people most talked about as choices, is that Pawlenty plays a lot better to the Republican base than Portman does, particularly the ultra-conservative Republican base, Christian conservatives and Tea Party folks. Portman, while they will be supportive of him, is not of them. Mm-hmm. In the way that Pawlenty is. And I think the Romney campaign surely is taking that into account as well. It'll be interesting to see how they come down in the end of making that choice.
Okay, let's get back to the phones. Deval, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, we were talking about the commercials and ads earlier, and I was wondering how much do those ads actually matter in deciding the vote? I mean, don't most people already have their mind made up? Or I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, statistical analysis that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how much? I mean, they obviously work. Well, they wouldn't run them, but how much do they work?
I think, or at least they think they work, and I think they're probably right. The evidence is pretty clear on this that most people in a presidential campaign already have made up their minds how they're going to vote. Most are partisans, either Democrats or Republicans. But the actual action boils down to 10 to 15% of the electorate who aren't partisans, who haven't made their minds up already. And the truth is they are moved by negative ads. Negative ads get their attention. They often, in the end, will vote against somebody rather than for somebody. And the campaigns know that. And so the negative ads are really targeted on that thin slice of the electorate that is A, paying the least attention to the campaign, and B, has not already formulated a position or a preference.
Bill Hershey, I mean, an incumbent campaign, like what President Obama faces right now for a second term, is always a referendum first and foremost on that president's first term in office. So that begs negative ads on the part of his opponent. And if you've had an economy that we've had for the past 4 years, the way for the incumbent to win is to somehow get the message out to voters that my opponent isn't ready for this job. That also begs negative ads. So I think that's perhaps one reason why we're seeing so many this time around.
We were saying just during the break here that President Obama clearly is not running on his record. He's running to destroy Mitt Romney. And that, I think, if he is reelected, might make it more difficult for him to do anything in a second term, because it's kind of a scorched earth campaign. And again, Romney doesn't seem to be able to strike back against this. I think it's incredible that the president is doing as well as he is in an economy like this. If it were Ronald Reagan running against him now, I think that, and of course that's absurd, he wouldn't be, but he'd be way ahead.
That's, I mean, we haven't seen President Obama, the campaigner, really for 4 years. He's been the president, and he's taken some criticism for being, you know, too laid back, too professorial, too, you know, compromising. But now we're seeing him on the stump.
But this is a different President Obama that we saw 4 years ago. He was the great reconciler, the politician who was post-partisan. That was one of the things I think he used against Hillary Clinton in the primaries, that she was from that dirty old Clinton White House where people did nasty things, and this was a pure guy who wasn't going to do things like that. As I said, it reminds me sometimes of a populist running for president. It doesn't remind me. It is. It's a populist message that, and it's also things could be worse as part of his message too, and they will be if Romney is elected.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, but on the stump, Paul Beck, he's as good as, or not, maybe not quite as good as Bill Clinton or even Ronald Reagan was. But he's better than Mitt Romney as far as jazzing up a crowd and the sort of just the connection he has with audiences and on the campaign stump.
Oh, he's a natural at doing that. And Romney, you see, has mostly contrived situations where Obama is much more free-flowing, is willing to kind of get down and talk to people directly. That's an advantage he has as a candidate, and he's certainly going to play to that advantage.
Bill, before we went on the air, you mentioned you heard President Obama on the sports radio station in town. He was on with their afternoon host last week sometime.
He was.
I didn't hear it. How did it go?
To use a sports cliche, he hit it out of the park. A common man in the torg. This is not Brian Williams or Tom Brokaw, but they talked about Penn State. He handled himself very well on that. They talked about Ohio State, Michigan, and I sent the link to it to a friend of mine up in Michigan who's a sports radio person, and he said Obama knew what he was doing.
He so said, who did he pick?
Well, that's what he said. Kerry came on sports radio in Michigan in 2004 and picked Ohio State, and Bo Schembechler went ballistic. He changed the subject. He asked him if they could get tickets for him.
Yeah. Did everything but answer the who he was going to pick or who he thought would win.
Yeah, he didn't. Make a choice. He switched the subject. He said, "What do you think, Urban Meyer? How's he doing?" And he knew what he was talking about. I don't think Governor Romney will go on the common man in the torg, although they've asked him, and maybe he'd do well, but I don't think it's his thing.
President Obama did a couple of these sports radio interviews, which was, you know, they're easy. Then these are sports journalists. They're more up on Penn State than they are on, you know, health care reform. So he's not going to get the same questions, so it's an easier interview.
Yeah, but you can blow it if you give the wrong answer.
Yeah. And I know, I think it was a New York sports radio station. He was teasing the Jets for their quarterback controversy, Tim Tebow versus Mark Sanchez, and it even got a response from their coach at the Jets.
He did the same thing on the Common Man in the Torg. He talked about he didn't like a two quarterback situation, and I saw the same response from the Jets. Quote: he's pretty silky about how he criticized it. It wasn't a sledgehammer.
But what this is the. One of the hosts on sports radio is the common man. This is the Obama, the common man. That's what he's doing here. Right, Paul?
That's exactly right. And where Obama's had problems, and these date all the way back to the 2008 campaign, is among white working class males. He's not drawn as well from them as a Democrat in the old days used to. Now that's declined over time for Democrats. But if he can do better among that particular constituency, he's going to win the election. And I think going on to these sports talk shows, you know, not that all working-class white males are listening to sports talk shows, but more of them than women, for example, and shows that he can converse in this language, he can talk about things they can talk about and would talk about with him. I think that's a real plus for him.
And Romney does have a 10- or 11-point lead among men in Ohio. But Obama has a huge lead among women. I think it's 21 points, and Romney has a 10-point lead among
men.
That's
exactly right.
I think just we should say this is the common man from the Harvard Law Review. Is that correct?
Yeah. real quick, let's get one more VP speculation, then we'll go to the break. But go ahead, Richard, you're on the air.
Yes. This is to the professor as well. You guys were talking about this other gentleman becoming the vice president candidate with the run with Romney, but I think that what he really should do is pick Jeb Bush because his wife is Hispanic, and that may pick up the Hispanic vote. So I just wanted to put that out there for you.
Is it too soon for a Bush on the ticket, Paul?
Well, I think Jeb Bush would be a good choice for him. Jeb Bush has pretty emphatically said that he does not want to be on the ticket. Mm-hmm. I think he has presidential ambitions down the road, and should have. The caller is right that his wife is Hispanic, and he's well known for his ties to the Hispanic community in Florida, and it's not Cuban Hispanic, which I think also would be important in attracting both Mexican American and Puerto Rican voters. But I think it's not going to happen this time around. And it may well be the case also that the Romney campaign has decided that it doesn't want such a close affiliation with the former Bush administration.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the U.S. Senate race between Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel and take more of your calls as this political discussion continues on All Sides with Ann Fisher here on 89.7 NPR News.
There's this mystery man I've been chasing for the better part of a year. Cooks the purest meth that me or anyone else has ever seen.
That's Dean Norris as DEA agent Hank Schrader on AMC's Breaking Bad. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Dean Norris. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in just about 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And join us for All Sides tomorrow at 11 for Tech Tuesday, a discussion of politics and social media, the top digital cameras, and gadgetry. It's All Sides tomorrow from 10 until noon, including Tech Tuesday, on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Jazzu continues with A Night in Vegas featuring the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus and Small Ensemble Vox Friday, August 10th at the Columbus Zoo. Gates at 6:30, showtime at 8. Details at jazzartsgroup.org.
You can get daily updates from our newsroom by signing up for the Daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit WOSU.org/email to register. You can also connect with our news team by following WOSU News on Twitter. 78 degrees with sunshine, warming up to a high of 85 today. Clear skies tonight, a comfortable night, a low of 58. Sunshine and a high of 87 for Tuesday. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We're talking politics here on the 6th of August, exactly 4 months before the election in November. Our guests, Paul Beck from Ohio State University and Bill Hershey, formerly of the Dayton Daily News and the Akron Beacon Journal. Let's move to the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Sherrod Brown, the Democrat seeking his second term, taking on the state treasurer Josh Mandel, the Republican. The latest Quinnipiac poll has Senator Brown leading by 12 points, a number that really has not moved all that much over the summer, despite all the negative ads against Sherrod Brown. Bill Hershey, you surprised that Josh Mandel and his supporters who are running these ads haven't been able to cut into that lead a little bit more?
I'm not real surprised because I think Senator Brown shouldn't be underestimated. Senator Brown lost a race in 1990, Secretary of State. He was caught by surprise a little bit. He shouldn't have been by somebody named Bob Taft. Mm-hmm. And Senator Brown runs hard. He doesn't quit. People may not remember this, but when there was speculation that he'd run for governor against Taft in the second term of Taft's administration, and when redistricting was being done by the Republican-controlled legislature, it seemed like Representative Brown, the U.S. representative, was here every weekend or every week making sure that the district would be a good one for him, or maybe I'll run for governor. I think Senator Brown's campaign was a little bit slow in getting off the mark, but he's a vigorous campaigner. He's been in Washington a long time, but he's still youthful looking. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really surprised that he's doing as well as he is.
Josh Mandel, the people who don't know in this race, the undecideds in this race, is down to 9%. So I think Josh Mandel was, when he first started, a lot of people didn't know who he was. I mean, he did win the statewide race, but still was a state treasurer, not as high up as governor. Is that about right? 9% don't know in this race or can't decide?
I suspect there's still a lot of voters who don't know much about him. We have to remember in 2010 that he ran and won in a race where almost any Republican was going to win. And 2010 was a huge pendulum swing in a Republican direction. And we shouldn't always credit particular candidates for having created that swing. There was a real mood swing there. I think the other thing about Brown is that Brown, though he is one of the most liberal members of the Senate, also is very much a populist. He's in kind of the Howard Metzenbaum tradition of somebody who is widely perceived by voters as sort of, quote, sticking up for the little guy, for the common man, end quote. And I think that serves him very well and in some ways kind of insulates him from charges that he's too liberal for Ohio. On the other hand, we're going to see, I think, more particularly outside money spent to try to defeat him. He's somebody the Republicans have really targeted in their mm-hmm. efforts to take over the Senate. Targeted him, I think, because they do feel he's out of step with the Ohio electorate. And so there's going to be a tremendous amount of money, millions and millions of dollars spent in attacking him. Most of it not by the Mandel campaign, most of it by independent groups.
Sherrod Brown is out with his first positive ad of the campaign, running during the Olympics, again, trying to tap into that whole, you know, Made in America thing. And he's at a car showroom. He looks a bit like a car salesman, but showing, you know, I supported the auto bailout, and this transmission was built in Ohio, this steering column was built in Ohio, and everything else. Bill Hershey, effective ad?
I thought it was an effective ad. I thought some of his previous ads were not real effective. They were talking about Mandel traveling all over the world to raise money, not attending these meetings, of which probably he should have attended. But I don't know how much they registered with voters. This was a good ad. He was out there talking. It was based on the truth. He did vote for the auto bailout, and all these parts were made in Ohio. So there you have it. I'm on your side, as Paul just said.
Here was a case where there was a bit of a gaffe. He kicked the tires, and the tires, it turns out, were not made in the United States. But it's one of these gaffes that is going to simply vanish and have no effect. And the reason is that it doesn't fit his image. It doesn't reinforce his image. And so that's one where, the minute the print dries in the newspaper, it's gone.
Yeah, you could see that with perhaps a bit of nitpicking because yes. Those parts were. Several Democrats I talked to were very happy that he ran a positive ad. Something Ted Strickland was criticized for going negative too early. And some people saying that Strickland should have touted what he did for the economy, and now Brown is touting what he says he has done for the economy.
The economy is a little better now, even it's hard to think, than it was when Governor Strickland was running for re-election. His best message was it could have been worse, and it could have been, but that doesn't sell with the voters. And Brown was able to say something positive.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're talking politics with Paul Beck and Bill Hershey here on 89.7 NPR News, All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We're at the point now where they're starting to talk about debates between these two candidates, Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel. And, you know, he's not accepting debates. I want a debate. And, you know, we'll go through this for the next month or so before they nail it down. Who wants to debate the other and who would rather not? Is there a disadvantage or an advantage to either of these candidates, Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel?
I suspect that neither candidate is especially eager to debate. I think the contrast between Brown and Mandel on the stage would favor Brown. And so that's why Brown, though not entirely eager to debate, would be quite willing to do that and is trying to arrange that. Mandel, on the other hand, may well need a debate to be able to try to close the gap between him and Brown. And so you may see him warming towards debates or towards having them as the campaign unfolds.
Yeah, because Josh Mandel is fairly young, and he looks younger.
Yes.
So being next to Sherrod Brown, who is, he's not, you know, Richard Lugar in his 80s. He's still, you know, a middle-aged man.
Exactly.
He lives in Ohio, too, when he's not in Washington, unlike Senator Lugar.
Bill Hershey, but the expectations could be low for Josh Mandel.
I think
he could knock
it
out of the park.
I think that's what Paul was just saying, that if he could come in there and say, gosh, I'm just a young kid, and this guy's been in Washington and Columbus and every place else for 20 years, and I did pretty well, he would hope for maybe a Al Gore sigh or something like that mm-hmm. would make him look better than Senator Brown. But I don't think Senator Brown is prone to doing something like that.
All right, let's go to the phones. People have been waiting patiently. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi, this is... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I had a question about going back to the presidential campaign. You made the comment about white working class males that don't are in favor of not voting for Obama and voting for or Republican. I'm wondering if, because I've had three males in Pennsylvania that are working class who have made the comment about they wouldn't vote for a black man. Do you think it's racial?
I think for some, perhaps, it is. I think it's actually for most more than that. They're not as comfortable with Obama as they are with a Joe Biden, for instance. Obama's background is not a background that they necessarily understand and warm towards, although it's interesting that when Obama was an organizer in Chicago, his organizational efforts were mostly among white working class males who were unemployed in the steel industry and related industries on that south side of Chicago. And so it's a group that he is comfortable with and has dealt with in the past. But there is that reaction to him. For some, it may be race, but I really think it's more than that.
I think partly I would contrast him more with Bill Clinton than I would with Joe Biden, because I think that Clinton's background, for one thing, was not elitist. Obama was poor, but he went to an elite high school. He went to elite colleges. And when he's not talking on the common man in the Torg, he can come off as an elitist. And that's not an advantage. But race is always a factor in American politics. It shouldn't be. And I've heard people say, well, they said we couldn't vote against him the first time because that would be racist, but we can now because the economy is bad. So there is a racial undertone to everything.
Pat, any follow-up?
Oh, Pat's, pardon?
Any reaction to that? Are you from Pennsylvania or just know folks from Pennsylvania?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch whenever you have stuff like this. It's just interesting.
Okay. I mean, the latest polls show basically that President Obama has the same lead in Pennsylvania as he has, maybe even a little larger lead in Pennsylvania than he has here. What's the? You guys getting a lot of negative ads in Pennsylvania? Same thing we are?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like turn it off. I don't really pay attention. My basic information comes from PBS, something that's intelligent, Bill Moyer, things like that. I really, and discussion shows like this, but I kind of like don't pay attention to the negative ads. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I mute them half the time.
Well, you're not.
I'm more interested in debates and what the policy is.
Yeah.
And I have to wait for that, I guess, because we're not getting a lot of information on that yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks.
William has a related comment. Go ahead, William.
Well, you've already covered what I was going to bring up. You brought up Obama's experience being a community organizer in Chicago. So he has had some contact with the common people.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've had that contact, I was a community organizer during my lifetime and, and I advocated for low and moderate income people. And once you have that experience, it doesn't leave you.
All right. Thank you, William.
All right.
Appreciate it. Just a couple minutes left here with Paul Beck and Bill Hershey. Paul Beck from OSU and Bill Hershey, formerly of the Dayton Daily News. Pat from Pennsylvania mentioned the debates. That really is we have the conventions, and that'll be important, and each candidate likely will get a bounce from the convention. And then the debates in September, October. That's going to be pretty interesting to see these two men, Mitt Romney and President Obama, on the same stage actually debating.
I think it will be interesting. Obama's very good on the stage. Romney did well on the stage by and large during the primaries, though one might argue that those were very crowded stages, mm-hmm. so it's hard to focus on a candidate. He was, though, very much under attack. He doesn't hold up well when he's criticized. And so it'll be interesting to see if Obama actually tries to go after him. But the president has to be very careful not to overdo that, because that then undercuts his own image and his own strength.
I think that Governor Romney, the thing I remember about the Republican debates, and it seemed like there were about 200, I'm sure there weren't that many. But the first several, I thought Romney was defensive and didn't do very well. But he figured out he had to do well in these debates, and he struck back, I remember, at Newt Gingrich, and I thought he did very well. So I don't think the Obama people should underestimate his ability to hold his own in debates. And I think what we have here, these are two very intelligent men, And I think it, I don't want to sound Pollyannish, but maybe it's something we could look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, Mitt Romney has debated Ted Kennedy, and he did quite well in his race for U.S. Senate back in the 90s in Massachusetts. He won a term as governor of Massachusetts. So he has had high-profile one-on-one debates. I mean, the ones with Kennedy were right there in Faneuil Hall in Boston. They were really very good debates, and he held his own. He didn't win. I think Kennedy eventually won with ease, but he has experience, and it was good to watch. The conventions, they start up later this month. What do we expect from there, Paul? More of the same? Just sort of a big pep rally?
These, of course, are devices to launch the campaign, so they want to try to launch them in a positive sort of way. I think the Democratic convention is going to be kind of a ho-hum affair. We sort of know what's going to come out of that. The Republican convention will be more interesting because Romney and the Romney forces have to give some time to people who are very critical of Romney. And this is particularly true of the Ron Paul group, which will have a significant share of the delegates at the Republican convention in Tampa. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over time. Ron Paul's not running for re-election for Congress, but he has a following. He's been very critical of Governor Romney. And, of course, as a libertarian, he's somebody who takes a somewhat different stance than, you know, particularly on national defense issues, on Israel, on a whole variety of issues of that sort. It'll be interesting to see how that plays during the Republican convention.
I think that the Republicans have to be careful that they don't have a Pat Buchanan moment at the convention as they did in 1992, and it cast a negative image for the whole Republican Party and helped President Bush the First get defeated.
Yeah. Will Ron Paul, he'll speak. Will he get a prime speaking spot, do you think?
I suspect that's still being negotiated. I think he feels that he deserves that. His delegates are going to feel that he deserves that. He has more delegates than he actually won in the early contests because a lot of these contests have selected delegates through the caucus convention system, and Paul delegates have been more numerous as the other candidates have faded. So I think he's going to have a rationale for prime time. We'll have to see. And I think Bill's right that they don't want an embarrassing situation.
George W. Bush, former presidents, they almost have to invite them, right? You could have a scheduling conflict, I suppose. But that would play into President Obama's, you know, whole foray. We don't want to go back to the Bush years.
I don't
campaign.
Think President Bush is going to be there. That's my understanding.
I think that's right.
My big question is John Kasich is apparently scheduled to speak.
Yes.
Bill Hershey, do you think John Kasich will write his speech before he gives it at the convention?
I think
he's not known for writing speeches down.
Somebody will tell him to. He'll do whatever he wants to.
Yeah. But it won't be an hour and a half rambling state of the state type speech.
It could be.
Those are more fun, though. We won't be able to see that. But he is going to get a big speaking part in the convention from what we read today.
Yes.
Ending all speculation that he's going to be the vice presidential pick. So anyway, Paul Beck, Ohio State University political science professor, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Good to be here.
Bill Hershey, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
The race continues, and we'll have all complete coverage here on 89.7 NPR News and at our website, WOSU.org, and on TV on Columbus on the Record and other PBS and NPR programs. For our studio production crew, I'm Mike Thompson. Have a good day. And this is 89.7 WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News is a service of WOSU Public Media.